You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. This is our second of two episodes looking at metaprograms. Now, I hope you caught the previous one two episodes ago. If not, I strongly encourage you to pause this one, go back a couple of episodes, catch the first episode all about metaprograms, where we introduce what they are, why they're important, and we start taking a look at the first nine. This episode, we're going to look at the rest of the metaprograms. Now, I hope you've gone through the first one and maybe started noting down what some of your metaprograms are. Start kind of figure it out. Starts to give you a bit more information about you, who you are, how you work, and also get curious about how this ties in with the various fears that you've got. I'd encourage you, for when you work out each of your metaprograms, work out, how is this showing up in terms of fear for me? How is this affecting fear for me? How does this contribute to sources of fear for me? Because that gives you a lot of insight into what's going on. So let's take a look at the rest of the metaprograms, carry on working these out. Our next metaprogram, our next filter, is abstract/specific. Abstract to specific filter. It's basically, what level of abstraction does your mind tend to operate on naturally? Do you tend to think in specific details? Do you tend to think in the grander abstract as concepts of life? Or are you somewhere in between? Do you start in one and move to another, or vice versa? These can tell you a lot about how you view so many things. But basically, there's four options here. Do you focus purely on the specific details? So you're only looking at the specific small details. Or are you abstract? You're only looking at the overview, the bigger picture, the more abstract concepts. You know, more of the abstract thinker, as it were. Do you go from specific to abstract? So when you start thinking about something, you first of all look at the small details, and then you kind of move up to the more abstract, higher level to see how it all fits in. Or do you start with the abstract, overall, bigger picture? So you start with the big picture, and then work your way down into the small details. And again, remember, with all of these, there is no right or wrong. It's simply what it is for you. So what are you? Do you work at the small detail level? Do you work at the abstract level? Do you start at the detail and build up to the bigger picture? Or do you start with the big picture and then work your way down to the smaller details? What is the one for you? Next one we've got is our comparison filter. It's basically, when we've got lots of information, do we tend to look for similarities or do we tend to look for differences? Is it easier for you to notice what's the same, or is it easier for you to notice what's different? And whether that's with people, things, situations, whatever. Do you tend to notice, there's kind of five options here. Do you tend to notice the similarities? And that's kind of all you notice. You just notice the similarities. Do you notice only the differences? Do you notice only the differences? Or do you notice mainly the similarities, but you do notice a few differences here or there? Do you notice mostly the differences, but you notice a few similarities? Or are they all equal? You notice similarities and differences equally. There's a great image which can really help you figure this out. It's an image of three coins. All of them are heads. Two, the head is pointing up. One, the head is pointing to the... One, it's kind of on its side, pointing to the side. Ask somebody, what do you notice about this? If they say, two of the coins have got the heads pointing in the same direction, they focus on similarities. If they look at it and go, one of those coins is looking different, they focus on differences. Perhaps they might say, well, two of the coins are pointing up. Oh, and one of them's looking different. But they are three coins. They're all heads, it's just one of them's a different way. They look at similarities. with some difference. If they kind of go, oh, well, they're pointing in different ways, although they are all coins, they look at differences with similarities, or they could be similarities and differences combined. They notice all of it. So, it's kind of, what do you notice? Are you drawn to noticing the similarities or the differences or a combination? A challenge response filter. Now, this is a really interesting one. This is how you respond when you're challenged. When you're faced with a challenge or a stressful situation, how do you react to stress? Do you think about things? Or do you go by feel? Or do you like to have choices? That's your challenge response filter. But when you're challenged, is it more about what you think? Is it more about what you feel? Or is it sort of do you prefer to have choices available to you? That's kind of how it's all about how you deal with those sorts of situations, with stress and all this sort of thing. Do you think your way through it logically? Do you just react, go by gut feel and emotion? Or do you prefer having choices? That's your challenge response filter, and that can be useful to figure out, to know in advance how you're going to react in a situation. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. So if you know, oh, when I get challenged, I normally go by my emotions, you know, hey, it would be helpful for me to have some techniques to enable me to keep my emotion low, for example. Yeah? I hope this is all making sense. What do you think of it? Again, let me know. Drop me a comment. Send me a message. Pop some comments where you're seeing this. Let me know how you're finding this. And also, kind of figure out what your particular filters are. Now, here is a really, really good one. This can cause so many arguments when people have different time awareness filters. they're kind of technical terms for these are in time and through time. Basically, do you kind of focus on being in the moment, or do you gear your awareness towards a time schedule? Best way to illustrate this, if we agreed to meet somewhere at 6 o'clock, are you going to get there like 10 to 6? And perhaps start to get a little bit anxious if I'm not there by 5 to 6. Or are you going to roll up, 6, 5 past, 10 past, quarter past 6? Yeah, hey, what's the problem? I'm here. If you're habitually early, perhaps you have a planner. You always have a timeline. You know exactly where you're going to be at any given time. You're very much a through time person. On the other hand, if you kind of play it by ear, take each, enjoy each moment. Like, oh gosh, I'm supposed to be seeing Keith at 6 o'clock. Right, I'll be there as soon as I can. That'd be cool. I lost track of time. That's very much an in-time person. There is no right and wrong with these. Remember, there's no right or wrong. But it really does help to explain why some people get really annoyed if a person's late, whereas other people see no problem. It's, well, what's the problem? I'm here. What's wrong? It's because you have different time awareness filters. And that's all it is. But knowing that can really, really, really help. If you are a through-time person, so you're habitually early, right, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock. Right, okay, I'm going to be there from by quarter to six to make sure I'm not late, to make sure I'm ready. And you're meeting someone who you know is an in-time person. They're probably not going to get there for 5, 10, 15 minutes late. If you know that, you can prepare in advance. And you can be prepared. So, right, okay, I'm going to be there for quarter to six. They're probably not going to turn up till about quarter past. So I'm going to make sure I've got something I can do to make use of my time. Time awareness filter. Oh, so many arguments caused by people with mismatching filters. Another interesting one is a focus filter. Where do you orient your focus on having your own needs fulfilled? Is it on having your needs fulfilled? Is it on fulfilling other people's needs? Or is it both? So basically, do you focus on what you need and forget anyone else? It's what I need. Do you focus on making sure everybody else has got what they need and maybe not paying much attention to what you need, so your needs may not be fulfilled. Or is it both? You know what? It's important for all of us to have exactly what we need. Where is your focus? Because yes, it can be very, very, very good to be focusing on others, but if you do that to the detriment of yourself, how much longer are you going to be able to help those other people, for example? So with each of them, there are pros and cons. And it's about being aware of where you sit in that whole thing so that you can then better plan how you go about doing things. If you become aware that you are self-focused and you tend to ignore other people, then you can go, oh, perhaps I ought to look at maybe focusing a bit on other people as well. Possibly. But you can at least be aware of it. Make sense? Certainly hope so. Let's take a look at the next one, which is improtion. Information processing filter. Do you tend to think through a problem or do you consider it externally? So you've got a problem, you've got a situation. Do you kind of sit down and analyze it, and think through, work through it yourself, come up with an answer? Do you process information internally? Or do you need to talk about it with others, talk it over with other people, get their input on it? So you process information externally. So you're facing a problem. Do you go, let's see, here's my problem, blah, blah, blah. Ah, I have a solution. You process internally. Or do you go, oh, there's a problem. Okay, gang, what do you think we should do? I'm seeing this. Is anybody else seeing that? Is there another way we can look at it? So do you process it externally? Just useful for figuring out how you handle this, these sorts of things. Now we come to a great couple of filters. Oh, these two filters, when you get these mismatched, boy, these can cause so many arguments. And these two filters, mismatching these two filters, it's probably responsible for, more relationship breakups than anything else when you really think about it. But there's the listening filter and there's the speaking filter. And both of them have the option of literal or inferential. So let me explain. Let's take the listening one first. So actually, let's explain what we mean by literal and inferential first. Literal is treat it exactly. It's take a step back. Let's explore the listening one because I can demonstrate it better with examples. So a listening filter, if your listening filter is literal, somebody says something, you interpret what they say literally. If somebody says to you, it's cold, to you, that is giving you information that the temperature is cold. That's interesting. Or not interesting, depending. Or are you inferential? So they say, I'm cold. Do you infer from that some a meaning or a command that you then respond to? If they say, I'm cold, do you think, you're cold, okay, well, that's interesting. You've taken it literally. Or do you think, oh, maybe they're asking for a blanket, or perhaps they're asking for me to turn the temperature up. So you've inferred a meaning there. You perhaps inferred a command there. So when somebody says something to you, do you take it literally, or do you infer a suggestion beyond that? You kind of, basically, do you take it exactly as it's given, or do you read between the lines? What did they mean when they said dot, dot, dot? Actually, that can cause a lot of doubts for somebody. If you have a lot of self-doubts, you quite probably have an inferential listening filter. Somebody says something, and your immediate thought is, what do they mean by that? What are they trying to say? What's the hidden message behind it? Oh, I thought you were quite good. I thought your cooking was quite good today. What do they mean by that? Do they mean my cooking is normally bad? Are they saying that I'm a rubbish cook? Are they saying they didn't like the food? Whereas in fact, they just meant, that was quite good. I enjoyed that. So are you a literal or an inferential listener? And then we've got the flip side of it. the speaking filter. This is how you communicate when you're seeking to make a point. Do you say it directly and literally? Say it how it is. Or do you say it indirectly, hinting and seeking for them to infer your meaning? So, do you say, "Oh, could you turn the heating up, please?" That's literal. Or do you say, "Oh, I'm a bit cold," hoping that they are going to offer to turn the heating up or offer to give you a blanket? So basically, do you say what you mean, or do you kind of hint and hope they're going to pick up on what you said? Now, these two, the listening and speaking filter, when you have a mismatch on those, so you have somebody who's perhaps has an inferential speaking filter talking to somebody who has a literal listening filter, you can get all manner of conflicts going on, all manner of miscommunication there. And if it's in a relationship, that can cause problems. That can cause a lot of problems over time. If you have somebody who is a literal speaker but someone who is an inferential listener, again, that can cause a lot of problems over time. It can cause miscommunication, misunderstandings, people not quite sure what's going on. You say things exactly as they are. The other person starts looking for hidden meanings and looking for hints and trying to interpret what you meant, comes up with a completely different meaning. Whoa, great lot of communication lost there. If you are a literal listener and a literal speaker, straightforward communication. If you're an inferential speaker and an inferential listener, there is still the possibility for miscommunication, but it's much less likely because you both know that what's being said isn't the actual message. The message is behind what's being said. It can get very confusing. But that's your listening filter and your speaking filter. And they are very, very, very closely linked. And it's entirely possible for you to have, for example, for me, my speaking filter is literal, but my listening filter is inferential. So I say things exactly the way I want to make the point, but when I hear what other people say, I'm kind of looking for what's implied behind what they said. What do they mean by that? What are they hinting at? And that can cause all manner of issues and problems and so on. Over time, I've kind of changed my listening filter now to a literal filter. So my speaking and listening are now literal. And does that make every situation easier? Probably not, but it makes my life easier. And it does lead to greater clarity in communication. So actually, that answers a question that you might have. Can your filters be changed? Absolutely, they can. Should you change your filters? Only if you want to. Only if you feel it will be beneficial. But it is possible to change them if you so wish. Sometimes they will change when you go through other deep change work. Anyway, sometimes they can be the thing that you choose to change in and of itself. That's the main filters. There is one other. And the term they use is modal operator sequence. It's basically, what's the phrase that you use to motivate yourself? If you had to motivate yourself to really go and do something you don't particularly want to do, what's the phrasing that you use to motivate yourself, to really get yourself to do it? That can be an interesting one. That's one that's generally more of use for perhaps managers, etc., and they need to motivate staff. What's the phrasing that the person would use to motivate themselves? If I use that, I can help them to find their motivation. But it can also be interesting to note how you motivate yourself. A great way to figure out what your modal operator sequence is, it's just to think back to when you were getting up this morning. What was the very last thing you said to yourself before you got up? What was the very last thing you said to yourself before you got out of bed? Basically, what's the thing that motivated you to get out of that bed? Come on, let's do this. Or, I suppose we better get it done. Or, hey, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what the day's going to bring. Could be all manner of things. Huge possibilities, but there we go. So that is our set of meta programs. And just to recap them, some we did last episode, some we did this one. We've got the motivation filter, what you're motivated by, towards, away, towards what you want, away from the pain, combination. Orientation filter, you're motivated by possibility or necessity. Success orientation, how do you know that you're successful? Does it come from within, from without, from a mixture? We've got decision-making. So how do you make a decision? Is it based on what you see, hear, read, or do? And how do you get convinced? Is it you automatically decide? Is it you need several options? Is it you need a period of time? Or is it you have to be constantly convinced? If you're ever recruiting for a QA position, somebody who's convincer filter is need to be constantly convinced, they are perfect for it. Because they will be looking at every single item to check, does it match? Is it okay? Does it fit our requirements? You don't want a QA person who's has maybe a three-time convincer. They'll look at the first three. Yeah, they're all right. The rest is probably fine. The leadership filter, do you know, are you able to lead yourself, others, both? None. Do you take action? So your energy direction, do you take action now? Or do you pause and reflect? Do you do a mixture of both? Or are you inactive until somebody else makes the decision? Are you a team player, an independent player, a manager? That's your performance filter. Your work satisfaction filter. What do you most enjoy about what you do? Is it things? Is it systems? People? Your preferred interest? What really gets you going? Is it people, places, things, activities, information? Do you look at the big picture, the small detail, start with the small detail, work to the big picture, or do you start with the big picture and work to the small detail? Again, each one is perfectly valid. It's just knowing what your situation is. With comparisons, do you look for similarities? Do you look for differences? Or is it a mixture? Is there a bias towards one or the other? When you hit a challenge, do you think about it? Do you act on feeling? Or do you look for choices? Are you in time or through time? Are you habitually early? Or do you turn up as and when? When somebody specifies a time, is that, if you arrive at that time, you're late? Or is it, well, that's more by way of a guideline, really, than any definite have to be there sort of thing. So are you in time or through time? Do you make decisions internally or do you talk them through with other people? Is your information processing external? When somebody's speaking, do you listen to what they say literally or do you infer and look for the meaning behind it? And when you're speaking, do you speak literally or do you kind of drop hints? Ooh, it would be nice if the curtains were closed. Yeah, probably would. As opposed to, would you close the curtains, please? Those are our meta programs. There is another meta program. It's all about your focus awareness, which is basically, are you focused on yourself, are you focused on others, or are you focused on both? But those are the meta programs. Some of them, as you can see, have direct bearing on our relationship with fear. We explicitly mentioned that around a couple of them, particularly around motivation, etc. But as you look through all of these, you will start to notice their relationship with you and your fear. And that can start to give you some deeper insights. That can be really powerful. That's it for this episode. Let me know what you thought of this. If you want to share your meta programs with me, please do. Drop me a message. Drop me a line. Get in touch on the website. If you like this episode, whatever you found us, like us, subscribe, give a comment. Recommend us, share us. Share us with your friends, far and wide. Share us with whoever you think would benefit from it. Leave me comments. Get in touch. Let me know what you think. If you've got any suggestions for future episodes, again, please do let me know. And until I catch you in the very next episode, take care, look after yourself, and remember that change is always possible. We'll be right back.
been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.